This episode is brought to you by Coinbase Institutional, the first choice of sophisticated investors and institutions that want to invest in crypto assets. As the only publicly traded company with experience trading and custodying digital assets at scale, over 11,000 clients use Coinbase products like Prime and Exchange. Coinbase also recently announced that they're on the path to launching derivatives. Invest in the most trusted name in crypto. Learn more at coinbase.com/institutional.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, May 13th. I'm Trinae Ree for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for J.R. Whalen. We've talked a lot on the show about how the cost of buying a home is going up. We've also talked about how rent prices are climbing. So what makes more financial sense right now, renting or buying? It's not as clear-cut as it used to be.
The time it takes for you to build enough equity for the home prices to rise enough, where if you sold, you could cover all your costs, that time is getting longer.
On today's show, our housing reporter Will Parker breaks down the new math on renting a home or buying one. That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Coinbase Institutional, the first choice of sophisticated investors and institutions that want to invest in crypto assets. As the only publicly traded company with experience trading and custodying digital assets at scale, over 11,000 clients use Coinbase products like Prime and Exchange. Coinbase also recently announced that they're on the path to launching derivatives. Invest in the most trusted name in crypto. Learn more at coinbase.com/institutional.
The housing market is historically hot. Home prices were up nearly 21% in March from a year earlier. At the same time, the cost of rent keeps going higher. Rent for a single-family home rose more than 13% in February year over year, according to CoreLogic. So with costs up across the board, does it make more financial sense to rent or buy a home? Here to talk about this is WSJ housing reporter Will Parker. Hi, Will. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So Will, historically, owning a home has been seen as a good long-term financial bet. But the housing market has changed a lot recently, both for renters and buyers. So I want to find out if that's still true. Can you just start out by explaining how this question of renting versus buying is normally thought of?
Yeah, the argument in favor of buying a home is that, you know, unlike rent, the payments that you make on your home mortgage, that's equity in the house that comes back to you when you sell later, right? What's happening now is the time it takes for you to build enough equity for the home prices to rise enough, where if you sold, you could cover all your costs, that time is getting longer.
Well, why is that changing?
So the big thing that's changed is that while rents have risen basically everywhere by a significant amount, home prices have risen even more. So what you're seeing is that because the barrier to entry to own a home, the price that it costs to buy one and how big those payments will be, because that's risen faster than rents, it's going to take longer for the home buyer to make owning a home more cost effective than renting.
Can you talk more about that break-even point where owning a home starts to pay off more than renting one? What happens if someone buys a home and then sells it before that point?
So the risk of selling too soon when you buy a home is that you could lose a lot of money relative to what it costs you to rent during the same time. And one of the examples we looked at for this story was Austin, where someone buying a median-priced home and doing it with the sort of 10% down payment and interest rate that we're projecting as typical. If they sell too early, if they sell only 3 years to owning, the model we worked with shows that they would lose $30,000 compared to the cost of renting over the same period. But past the break-even point, which for our purposes was 5.6 years in Austin, you know, every few years they accrue more and more equity, and the financial benefit relative to renting really starts to increase. And by the time you're 15 years into owning a home in Austin, that the model projects that, you know, the typical buyer of a median home there would be up $140,000 relative to the cost of having rented over that same 15-year period. So if you can hold on and if you can afford the payments in the first place, which is a big if in this market where the barrier to entry is so high, there are some pretty substantial benefits for a lot of buyers.
So you just mentioned Austin, Texas, but these trends may not be the same everywhere around the country. Can you just walk us through a few of the different rent versus buy scenarios that are happening in other housing markets?
We looked at 20 different markets in the sample, and in 19 of them, the time it takes to break even relative to what it costs to rent has gotten longer. It's all within, you know, mostly within 8 years across the board. But there was actually one market in this 20 where the time it takes to break even actually got faster, and that was Miami. And the main takeaway there is the exact opposite of the other markets. Whereas, you know, these other markets, home prices rose so much faster than rents. And Miami rents for houses specifically, which is what we looked at, those rents ran even higher than home sales prices. And so that's an outlier market where, you know, buying is even more attractive if you can, because rents are rising so, so quickly.
It sounds like the situation can be pretty different depending on the city you live in. Why is that?
Yeah, so, you know, home prices vary a lot between cities, and also the ratio of what it costs to rent a home to what it costs to buy a home is also different in a lot of cities. And there are a lot of things that affect that. But because of those differences, the thinking through renting and buying can be different in a lot of those places. In some cities, if renting a 3-bedroom house is cheaper relative to what it is to buy, then that might change the way that you think about it. But not every market is the same. It's not uniform. And so, you know, it's important to think locally when you're looking at housing data like this.
All right. So generally, it seems like it's taking longer for homeowners to reach that break-even point. But I want to talk more about how we know that. How are these numbers calculated? What kinds of factors go into it?
So there's a lot that goes into it. We worked with a mortgage finance startup called Tomo, and there's an economist there who came up with a model. And the model tries to include a lot of different variables. So it tries to project things like maintenance costs of owning a home, property taxes, the closing costs that go into buying a home. On the other side, for renters, it tries to calculate things like, you know, renter's insurance, and also tries to assume that, well, if renters aren't buying a home, perhaps they're saving some money and putting it in the stock market to try to make as balanced of a comparison as possible. And there's also a lot of assumptions here too, like 5% mortgage interest rate, you know, that's already moving up a bit, could move even further. So it really depends on a lot of things.
So it sounds like the overall math could change based on how a lot of things go. And I want to ask you more about one of them. We've talked on the show a lot about mortgage rates going up. If they continue to rise, how does that change the picture?
As mortgage rates rise, that makes the cost of owning a home higher, right? And, you know, depending on the situation, that could mean that the time it takes for you to break even on that home purchase relative to renting it could get even longer. So it's another thing to think about as far as, you know, just home affordability, but also how those costs will compare to if you rent it, at least in the near term.
All right. That's WSJ housing reporter Will Parker. Will, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm Trinina Reed for The Wall Street Journal.
This episode is brought to you by Coinbase Institutional, the first choice of sophisticated investors and institutions that want to invest in crypto assets. As the only publicly traded company with experience trading and custodying digital assets at scale, over 11,000 clients use Coinbase products like Prime and Exchange. Coinbase also recently announced that they're on the path to launching derivatives. Invest in the most trusted name in crypto. Learn more at coinbase.com/institutional.